Hello there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak, and it is great to be back with you again. Hope you can settle in, because for the next half hour, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme this week, when you look at all the readings, put them together, look for the common theme. As I see it, the theme is the Lord hears the cry of the poor. What does that mean? Does that mean if you're not poor, if you have a lot of money, that he doesn't listen to you? Well, not at all. That's not really what we're talking about when we refer to the poor. You're going to see these readings this week are all about humility. What is humility? Well, we'll talk more about it. We'll talk why it's so important. We'll talk about why it's so important, and we'll look at these Mass readings. Also, this week, we're going to look at the final chapter. Every week now for the past 9 weeks, we've been looking at a chapter from my new book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. This week, we're going to look at chapter 10, When You Are in Need and Feel Helpless. In a sense, when you're poor. Right, so it ties in nicely. I love it when the Holy Spirit works like that. So that's what we have in store for the next 30 minutes. The specifics I will leave up to the Holy Spirit. I have an idea of the way we should proceed, but I always like to turn it over to the Spirit, let the Spirit lead us where where he will. Excuse me. And right now, before we go any further, I'm going to take a sip of water. That's the first thing I'm going to do. The second thing is, let's turn to our Heavenly Father. We're going to turn to him. We're going to recognize that he is present with us. We're going to ask him to help us, to help me deliver the message he wants me to deliver, and also to help us all to be able to hear his message. So that's the plan. Let's remember, we are, no matter where you are right now, where I am, God is with us. He's with us wherever we go. He sees us. He hears us, and he can't wait to hear from us. So with that in mind, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this great opportunity, an opportunity to spend some time with you in prayer, to thank you, to praise you, to say that we're sorry for committing any sins against you, and to also ask for what it is that we believe we need. Let's start with the praise. Father, we praise you for your power. We praise you for your infinite knowledge, your infinite and immense love for all of your creatures. Father, you could do all things. There is no problem that is too big for you. We thank you for creating us, Father. We thank you for enabling us to spend this time in prayer with you. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for founding a church through your Son, Jesus Christ, which helps us to draw close to you and ultimately reach our heavenly home. We thank you for all of these gifts. We thank you for the blessings you've given to us over the years. We thank you for sustaining our lives. Obviously, if you didn't, we would not be here right now. So the fact we're here right now and alive, and it proves that you have taken care of us and provided for our needs. And we're grateful for that. Father, we've messed up many times. We've committed sin. We've maybe did things we shouldn't have done. Just in the past week, we haven't done things that we should have done. So for sins of omission, for sins of commission, we turn to you and we ask for your forgiveness. Father, please forgive us and make us aware of any changes that we need to make. Lastly, we come to you and we ask you for what we need. We ask for the needs of ourselves, our families, our friends, for our country, for those around the world who are in need. We pray for anybody who has left your church. We pray for those who are searching for you, Father, who don't know that you exist. We pray for our church. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for all the souls in purgatory. And Father, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon me today so that I can deliver the message that you would like me to deliver. And please open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we can hear your words, your message, and put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and who is our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for praying with me. I do appreciate it. In case you're tuning in a little bit late, my name is Gary Zimak. We do this program each week. And every week we look at the Mass readings, the Sunday Mass readings for a particular Sunday. And this week we're on this 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We're getting near the end of the liturgical year. We've got 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time, followed by the 34th Sunday, which is the Solemnity of Christ the King. After that, when the church year ends, the following week, we go into the season of Advent and begin a new church year. So we are very close, believe it or not, to the Advent season. So just, you know, keep it in mind. We, and I've told you this before on the program, in the weeks to come, you're going to hear more and more of an end times theme. It ties in with the end of the church year. The church wants us to remember an important fact, that we're not going to be on this earth forever. And that we are called to live in a way that would please the Lord. And maybe some changes are in order, and we should look at that. And really, what happens is, in the last few weeks, you're going to see some references to the fact that the world will come to an end one day. And even possibly sooner than that, our own lives on earth will come to an end, and then we'll experience judgment, right? I mean, yeah, I don't want to say frightening, but it's an attention-grabbing thought. And I think one that we need to remember, one that I need to absolutely remember, because it reminds us that we've got limited time on this earth. And we're expected to do something, to know, to love, to serve God with all we got. That's what he's asking for. So as we round out, as we finish up the church here, we recognize that we've fallen short and we need to make changes. And this leads us into the Advent season as we prepare to welcome the Savior, both in a spiritual way and in a very practical way in our own lives. You know, we want to let Jesus come alive in us and go out and be Jesus to those around us. That's what we're called to do as Christians. So you're going to hear some of these end times messages in the next few weeks, which leads into the Advent season. You know, once we figured out the shortcomings that we may have, then it's time to do something about it, to prepare to grow closer to Jesus throughout the Advent season. So that's why I tell you that in advance, because when you hear these readings, you're not going to panic. Anyway, I'm Gary Zimek. You can find out more about my work at followingthetruth.com. You can sign up for my daily email reflection, or you can order my books, invite me to speak at your parish, any number of things. Watch some videos of my TV and speaking appearances, followingthetruth.com. So as I said a few minutes ago, we are going to look at the final chapter in Lord Save Me, my new book, When You Are in Need and Feel Helpless. Now, each chapter has a theme, an anxiety-producing feeling or emotion. And then I have some Bible verses and reflections to help us to overcome those feelings, which could lead to hopelessness. You know, the whole point of the book is to learn to reach out to Jesus. Lord, save me. They're St. Peter's words. They're not my words. He's drowning. He's about to drown. He tried walking on the water, did okay, took his eyes off of Jesus, began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus saved him. So this book was written for those who need Jesus to be absolutely real at that moment. You know, he's real, but he needs to be real to us. When you're in need and feel helpless, that's a time when you realize you don't have what it takes, you need Jesus to be real. So I'll read a couple sentences from the start of the chapter, then I'll look at one verse from this chapter. Here's what I wrote in the book. Although the feeling of helplessness can easily lead to despair, absolutely, it can also serve as a turning point for a closer relationship with God. Many stories of conversion, including my own, begin with the realization that we are helpless and need assistance. The practice of total self-reliance is incompatible with the Christian life, because it takes God out of the picture. Failing to recognize our need for God makes it impossible for us to follow him. It may not be comforting to feel helpless, but that feeling will typically fade once we learn to view it as an invitation. Realizing I'm helpless can lead me into the arms of Jesus, who wants to assist me. So every time you feel helpless and overwhelmed, it's an opportunity to say to Jesus, Lord, save me. I need your help. And here's one verse that I included in this chapter on helplessness. It's from Isaiah 45, 7. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create woe. I am the Lord who do all these things. Obviously, the reason I included this verse in the chapter on helplessness is because we need to know, before we turn to the Lord in prayer, we need to be reminded that He can help us. That is so important, because if we don't think and if we don't believe that He can help us, what's going to happen? We're not going to turn to Him in prayer. We're going to run around trying to solve our problems on our own. And of course, He wants us to do what we can to fix our own problems, but there are times that we can't. These problems are beyond us. So it's a good idea to recognize that anytime you feel helpless, it's not a fun feeling. If you're like me, if you like to be in control, it's not an enjoyable feeling, but it's an important one. It's a true feeling. And it reminds us that God is God and we're not. He's all powerful. We're not. We don't have to be all powerful as long as we have Him to help us. Amen? So that's the point of this. God can do all things. He knows that. And when we pray, it's good to remind ourselves. When we pray, we can start our prayer by saying to God, God, I know You can do all things. He knows that. Again, this is a reminder for you and me. I forget that all the time. So it's a good thing to be reminded of, because then what happens? Then we pray with greater confidence in God's power. You know, we can't forget that He can do all things. Okay, so again, that's from Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard, my latest book from Ave Maria Press. If you'd like to pick up a copy, you can go right onto my website, followingthetruth.com, and you'll have links to all of my books, but that book is at the top of the list, Lord Save Me, followingthetruth.com. All righty, time for these readings now. The readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Isn't that great? You know, as I said at the start, it's not just those who are financially lacking who are poor. It's anybody who needs anything. So if you're in the midst of a hopeless problem, if you can't fix your problem, if you're starting to fall into despair or hopelessness, that's the time to recognize, I'm poor, but I know somebody who's rich. Our Heavenly Father is rich. He can help us with any problem that we face. But in order for that to happen, and this is key, you're going to see this in the gospel, we have to recognize that without God, we're helpless. Because so many times, and I do this, look, I'm not going to lie, I do this, we forget just how much we need God. We forget how much we need God. And you know, surprisingly, one of the symptoms, the indicators of the fact that we've forgotten how much we need Him is when we worry. Because when we do that, We are failing to recognize God's infinite power and our limitations. When I'm worried, I'm taking all the problems that I'm facing on myself. I've got to fix this, right? It's up to me, but it isn't. It's up to God. And God will help me to fix whatever situation I'm in, or to handle or to deal with it. You know, He doesn't always take the problem away. Sometimes He just gives us the grace to be able to endure, to move forward, and to grow, to bring, and He will bring good out of even the worst situation. I mean, you look at the crucifix, you can see that. If He allows something to happen in your life, He intends to bring good out of it. Now, you can block Him unintentionally by fighting Him, by worrying, by not asking for help, by trying to take control. But God only allows situations to happen which can help us in some way. And I think that's really comforting to remember. So with that in mind, let's look at the readings for the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. We'll do what we do each week and begin with the gospel. And then I'll back up and let the other readings support the message of the gospel. Again, the theme, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. The gospel is Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank You that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, you know, you've heard this gospel before, and I think one of the most disturbing aspects of this, it almost seems like Jesus is praising the tax collector. And tax collectors were known as crooked. They were not honorable. They would skim money off the top. They were working for the Romans, collecting taxes for the Roman government from their own people, the Jewish people. So they were almost like selling out. And they were taking money off the top. Once they collected the tax that was due to the Roman government, they could keep whatever else they took in. So they would inflate the taxes and keep money for themselves. They were not thought of as holy people. They were not well liked. They were thought of as sinners. So here we have this tax collector, and he admits he's a sinner. He admits he's a sinner. And he prays, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The other guy, when you look at what he's saying, looks pretty good. The Pharisee, he does all these good things. He's not greedy. He's not dishonest. He fasts twice a week. He pays tithes on his whole income. But if you notice, and this is the key point, and this might not be obvious, but if you noticed the way Luke writes this, the tax collector, the Pharisee took up his position. You know, he's one of the righteous ones. He's one of the holy leaders. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. He wasn't speaking to God. He was praying to himself. Even though he says, "Oh God," he's praying to himself. And he's telling God all the good things that he does. "I'm not like those other people. I'm not greedy. I'm not dishonest. I'm not like that man, that tax collector." This guy's filled with pride. He doesn't think he sins at all. But the tax collector, standing off at a distance, that's a humble position, right? He knows his deal. He knows he's a sinner. Wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven, beat his breast and pray, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Let's face it, they were both sinners. Why? Because we're all sinners. The Pharisee was kidding himself. But the tax collector said, "I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me." And Jesus praises him and says he's doing the right thing. Humility. Spiritual poverty. That's what this is about. See, because somebody who is rich, when you look at it in the spirit of the gospel message, is someone who doesn't think he needs anything. He's proud. "I can do this. I'm self-sufficient." Somebody who's spiritually poor recognizes that they need God. That was the tax collector. And Jesus likes to turn things upside down, as he did with this parable, and make people uncomfortable. And I'll tell you, this gospel reading makes me uncomfortable sometimes because, look, I honestly get a little self-righteous sometimes. And I start to think, "Oh, I'm better than this other guy. You know, I might not be great, but I'm better than this other guy." That's the wrong attitude. I should be comparing myself to Jesus. And I'm always going to find room for improvement if I do that, right? Let's look at the first reading from the book of Sirach, chapter 35, beginning in verse 12. "The Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay." Now look, obviously the Lord hears all prayers. He hears everybody who prays. But someone who recognizes his weakness and his need for God and God's ability to help him, those prayers are going to be answered over someone who doesn't feel he needs God. You know, sometimes we can all go through the motions. We can all go through the motions and think that, well, Lord's going to, I don't have to plead my case. I'm not that big of a sinner. I go to church every week. Got to be really careful with that position. Because, you know, Jesus said the tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes are getting into heaven before some of the holy people. He said that. You know, so we all have to be careful that we don't give in to spiritual pride, thinking that, oh, I got it all going on. I don't need to work on my relationship with Jesus. I'm great. No, we all have to be careful about that. And that's the message. We need to be humble to enter God's kingdom and to ultimately make it to heaven. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 34, the title of this show this week, The Lord Hears the Cry of the Poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. You know, that's just such an important message. A reminder that when we pray, we need to be humble. It's one of the things about kneeling in prayer. I mean, the Lord's good. Sometimes we can't do that, but we kneel as in a position of humility, recognizing that God is all-powerful and that we're just creatures. It doesn't take anything away from us. Humility is not thinking badly of ourselves. Humility is seeing ourselves as we really are, in God's eyes, you know, seeing ourselves as he sees us. And there's none of us that doesn't commit some sort of sin every day, or maybe we don't do something we should do, even if it's not an overt act of sinful behavior. Maybe there's something we should have done. Maybe there's an extra prayer we should have said that we didn't say. You know, it could be any number of things, but we have to know where we stand in relation to God. Yes, he loves us. He wants to be merciful to us. But if we don't think we need mercy, if we think that we don't need to be forgiven, then we're mistaken, and we are depriving ourselves of that forgiveness, which we all stand in need of. One of the greatest examples of that is the sacrament of confession. You know, at most churches anymore, the confessional lines are not long because people don't think they have a need for confession. But there's so many graces that come through that sacrament. I'm a big advocate of the sacrament. I know what it's like to go frequently. I know what it's like to go infrequently. And I've seen a difference in my life. You know, I try to go as often as I can now and on a regular, very regular basis. But I've got a long way to go. But my eyes have been open to things that I need to address with the help of God's grace. And I've also been given, every time I go, I receive, in addition to being forgiven of my sins, I receive grace to fight against future sins. So it's a really big deal. It's an important thing for us to do. If it's been a long time since you've been to confession, I would strongly encourage you to go this weekend. You know, this show, for the most part, in most markets, airs on the weekend. So some of you hear it on Friday, some on Saturday, some on Sunday, but try to make it a point. Make it a point to get to confession. If you can't get out of the house, call your parish, let the priest will be happy to come and hear your confession. Don't put it off. That's one of the most important messages I can have for you. Let's look at the second reading now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Beloved, I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have competed well. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, the crown of righteousness awaits me, which the Lord, the just judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance. At my first defense, no one appeared on my behalf, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the proclamation might be completed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil threat and bring me safe to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, Paul recognizes in this scripture passage that his life is coming to an end, that he's going to be judged at some point in the near future. But he also recognizes that if he humbles himself and turns to the Lord for help to lead a holy life, that his prayer is going to be answered and he will be able to live forever in heaven. That's a great message, and it ties in perfectly with these other readings. God is merciful. God wants to forgive us. But if we don't acknowledge that we need forgiveness, then he can't help us. So it really depends on us. We have to admit, I'm a sinner. I need help. God, have mercy on me, just like that tax collector did in the gospel. So that's the message, humility, becoming poor, not necessarily in a monetary way, but spiritually poor, recognizing our need for God and the fact that we're sinners and we need help. Once we do that, once we make that recognition, and yes, not all levels of sins, there's different levels of sins. Not every sin is created equal. Yeah, you could look around and find some people who are committing murders, and you look at someone who's not going to church on Sunday. There's a difference there. Obviously, murder is a worse sin than not going to church on Sunday. But they're both wrong. And so for me to look at people who are doing worse things than I am and saying, well, you know, I'm not that bad. That's not what I'm called to as a Christian. So look, let's all humble ourselves this week. Let's cry to the Lord. Let's go to confession if it's been a while. Even if it hasn't been a while, make it a point to go to confession. Okay, will you do that for your friend Gary? All right. Hey, thank you so much. We are just about out of time. Thanks for listening. Followingthetruth.com is my website to find out more. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. And we will hopefully see you next week. God bless.